idea that perhaps God himself would blur the edges of the written word to shake awake the sleeping to the word that already dwells in them. From the last configuration, I hear you are in my current transmogrification. Hello, love. I remember the past. Now it's just a blast, a frequency.
Okay, so it's the inundation of 2003. Okay. Well, I'm ready. But yeah, the unveiling, you know, between the unveiling and the future, there's no room in my head for any thought of my own. Because it's just like one revelation after another about Los Angeles, which... And that's what I mean about the unveiling. For me, it's getting to a deeper level of corruption in Los Angeles in the late 40s. Then it's nothing I don't know. It's a matter of acceptability and emotionality, of emotion and acceptance. That, okay, it's really, you know, you've said it's bad and it's... And, you know, people are abusive, you know, people wind up with cement shoes and You know, it's definitely like a mob operation, total criminality. Everyone's corrupt. Everyone's blackmailed. Yeah. Worst period for Los Angeles. So we'll deal with the unveiling. Mine deals with Los Angeles, and really, you might make a case for L.A. being nuked from this. Or you might not. Or you might. I don't think the Chinese will have much mercy on Angelenos, do you? So the thing is that I was triggered yesterday. But obviously it's something God wanted to do. You know, because now I feel like I'm, now that I've got the pharmakia out of my system, God is just grab me by the short hairs and flinging me through these portals. And L.A. in the 1940s is probably, and you know, you might also go to the 1920s. I think the story that sort of triggered me was based on the 1930s, actually, and L.A., 1930s. It had to be because of talking pictures, you know. And then, of course, the period following of World War II and then following World War II. So you could say about 1930 through 1954, the year of my birth, was probably the most condensed, corrupt time in any city, rivaling any city anywhere on earth. And I was never prepared to accept that it was that bad. Yeah, so Neil Jordan made a movie that's gotten very little fanfare called Marlowe. I don't know if it was out in the theaters or not. I don't deal with theaters anymore. I just consider them, you know, COVID stations. but and he has one played by Liam Neeson playing Philip Marlowe, the famous detective. And, you know, it's probably one of the darker tales. I'm not sure which this one really, I forget the actual title of it, but it's, I think what they put it out is just Marlowe. And it has some excellent writing by Jordan and some, you know, he really captured the pretty much the essence of the corruption of Hollywood, and you see the coalescence of the corruption of Hollywood as it works in with organized crime. But the overarching issue, and there's a reason I'm starting with this and then moving out, that goes to blackmail. And statements like, you know, I mean, it's like not like any Philip Marlowe you've ever seen, you know, like with the, you know, from the noir films or whatever. It's way darker than that. But everyone is on the take. Everyone's on the make. Everyone is blackmailed. And everyone is shootable at any time. And nobody gets in trouble. Where have you heard that before? Because there's leverage. Unless they're a nobody, then of course they're expendable and they can go to jail and do the time. And what level are we talking about? We're talking about anything, everything. The promotion of all this industry. And remember that at the same time we were, you know, out there trying to win World War II, you know, we also had these factories going in, like, you know, Boeing and Northrop and, you know, your weapons companies going in. And with the GI Bill that followed, we had the population of all the areas around Los Angeles, like the San Fernando Valley and beyond, really for the workers in the military-industrial complex originally. And then, of course, it changed. But ultimately, that would be the working class environment, which was controlled completely by Babylon, you know, by the powers that be. And so I just can't really explain why, excuse me, the triggering was so fucking bad. But these characters are saying things that I just can't explain it to you, okay? I can't really explain it because a lot of things that happen, they're just not explainable, you know? But I could see everything for real. In the lens, the movie's like a lens. The reality is now. The reality is the world. But the microcosm is the macro. And, you know, to see the industries that rose to prominence could not, would not have happened in L.A. without complete, total, depraved corruption that rivals today. In fact, goes beyond today. In fact, it's 10 times worse than today. If that's possible. And so what grows out of that tree is rotten fruit. These warmongers and the depraved Hollywood idiots building their empires of nothing, of garbage to themselves. But not before each and every person's corrupt. And then this one guy who was the head of this club, and the club really triggered me. It was like, you know, the entire movie was like everything I remember about L.A. and country clubs and just horrifying shit. You know, especially the back room, the cement shoes, you know, the back room. Right, there's always the dirty work that needs to be done to keep things running smoothly, you see. So there's no reason for LA to be there. It's as if God is telling me, don't hold on to that. Hold on to life. Hold on to love. Hold on to what's real. But don't say that, you know, this global corruption is worth saving. Please don't say that, son. Please don't say that. Please don't say that hating me is good. Please don't go there. Why do you go there? Wow. And then there's a guy played by Danny Houston. And Danny Houston, he just reminds me of a society guy. He was the head of this club in this picture. I wouldn't even call it a picture. I think it's more like an expose. And he really reminded me of my grandfather. Oh, my God. And, you know, there was one point where he was going to kill the Liam Neeson character, the Philip Marlowe character. And he went into this rage saying He hates when a whore won't spread her legs, or when someone won't do their duty, or when someone balks, or when someone has principles. They need to be dead. I went into this rage, like, they should be killed, almost, you know, just like, you know, Marlo, you've got a principle here, and that principle's going to wind you up in an early grave, buddy. No scruples, no principles allowed. And the club was perfect, the exclusive club for the exclusive, you know, while the men work during the day, the women are up to no damn good around the pool. You know, you understand. I don't need to go there. It's just, and of course, every cop is totally corrupt from the beginning. It just doesn't need to be in a Mickey Cohen thing, you know, expose of the late 40s. Hollywood Babylon went on a long time before the late 40s. And it's the worst place on earth. It actually goes beyond Sodom and Gomorrah. And you can imagine the rest of it, you know. What's the purpose of children? To be used as necessary, to be seen and not heard, of course. Right, the Joan Crawford example, right? And so, you know, basically, no difference there. Nothing has progressed. They may be trying to come out of the closet with some things and pushing the trans agenda, which is basically, it's basically obedience to China. It's got nothing to do with sex, unless you're stupid, which most of the followers of that are. And I'm not saying all of them. I mean, some of them really need to cross dress. They need to, and if they do, fine. I don't care. But this whole thing that this is a hill to die on, the hill to die on is the basic setup of Western civilization to begin with is not worth sustaining. Number one, before we get to anything else, understand I'm being pounded with this. And in this film, unlike other Philip Marlowe tales and other Raymond Chandler stories, it was so dark I couldn't believe it. And in the end, Marlowe gives the, it's all about finding this suitcase that this guy has that has all the dope deals that have gone down. And everyone was into the Mexican heroin, the brown powder Mexican heroin. And they would hide it in little statues and they'd hide it in the prop house of the studio. And they had all the names there of all the people that made deals and whatever. And so Marlo tells the girl who's playing this game, trying to find her old lover because she misses her lover, but really, she doesn't give a shit about her lover. She doesn't love anything. But it was just a setup for her to kill the guy, you know, and to burn down the prop house along with all those evidence of who did the dope deals. And then they gave her a cushy job running the studio. And then she says to Marlo, I need a head of security. He goes, I got just the guy for it. No, I meant you. And he said, well, he's got perfect credentials, me, vouching for him. Mr. Marlowe, are you blackmailing me? No, I would never do that. End of story. Studio chief in his pocket. Just like that. You know, you got to catch up, Marlowe. I mean, we're 3-4 steps ahead of you. And the way Marlo played the game is he just acts like he's not with what's going on, like he's on the surface, because there's 2, 3, 4 motives behind each move. So one move on the surface that has nothing to do with the prime move underneath, which was to get the, you know, it's the jilted lover. But really, it's the list of the heroin thing, which will make a lot of people rest easy. In fact, people will be so grateful to get rid of that evidence that they will boost this spoiled little brat girl up into the head position. Except that she won't be the head. She'll be being blackmailed while being the head. And, of course, I've, you know, known people. So Hollywood is a great microcosm of Washington, D.C. We've always known that. But Washington, D.C. is dirtier. It's actually much worse, if that can be imagined. And I'm thinking about the yearbook of Hollywood High, where my mother went to school. Seriously, Hollywood High. I can't make this shit up. And there's some, like, little people that became celebrities in there and stuff like that. And you could just tell that that's where the indoctrination went on for the kids to put out. That's where it all the training happened. Good old Hollywood High. And that training is going on now. They call it grooming. They call it this or that. But what it is simply the old way. Right? What have you got to bring to the table? Nothing. Well, if you're a kid, you've got sex. Okay, well, then you better spread that out liberally because you're going to be used a lot if you want to get somewhere in this world. Otherwise, you'll just be one of the useless eaters. And that's basically it, because every job you do out there is useless. You drive a truck, that's useless. Plow a field, that's useless. Paint a house is useless. Building houses is totally useless. Who's going to occupy the house? Useless people. The only thing going on is, you know, D.C., Hollywood, you know, China, you know, Beijing, different places. And it all has to do with, you know, at this point, with getting rid of the populations of the earth because they're useless. Now, that's not what I say, but the reason Noel Yuval Harari is saying that humans are obsolete is because there's no more jobs for them to do. We're not in a post-World War II era. We're not building bombs. We don't need a workforce. What we need is we need to turn humans, which they already were, Harari, into commodities that can be harvested, that can be exploited, that can be used for our benefit. You got it? Go out and tell them that on your next talk show host you go out and talk to. That humans have within them something you very desperately need. But you can't get it without corrupting them, which is why there's so much emphasis on corruption. But the corruption goes right to the top. People keep saying, well, you think Trump's corrupted? What kind of question is that? Everyone's corrupted. I'm corrupted in the fact that I use the system when I go to the bank, when I go to the bathroom, when I go to the doctor. I'm polluting. It's not worth saving. So that's the prep for this morning. You know, that's the thing that the biggest problem, and this is, thank God I've come to be able to say this. This is the biggest crowd problem in either religion and Christianity, New Ages. I mean, this is the biggest problem that there is in all this spirit, you know, spirituality and all that. It ignores the reality on the ground. It's like you're looking at something and you're saying it's something else. You're lying. The Christians are liars. I always knew there was something wrong with that. that whole Jesus thing and that Angel Studios and the big church, you know, like Big Pharma. I always knew, you know, I didn't know what it was, but I could feel it. There's something wrong. There's something corrupt in that system. And yeah, because it's part of the bigger system. It's no different than, that's why it never blended with the world. It stayed separate. And now it's on Fox News, which is owned by Big Pharma. Questions? So Pfizer and Angel Studios are in bed together. And Jesus, i.e. picking out Jewish guys that look like Jesus and put them in the movie, so the dumb fuck Christians think it's something real, isn't that nice? And now they got a little thing going. And it's the same people that are lured into churches. It's the same people that are lured into TBN. It's the same people that are lured into the beast system. And, you know, that's where they, I have predicted for years and years and years and forever, I've told people what's going to happen. It's going to be obliterated. Back in 2003-04, when I wrote about the obliteration, the annihilation, I said we wouldn't all be here. I was way ahead of my time, 20 years, but I have not changed that warning. I've been warning. I was just thinking about Rich Keltner. He wrote something about the upside-down world like he was doing a podcast for Watchmen Radio. Well, he's been warning the same way. I mean, the guy in the wilderness been screaming and warning. You know, if you don't, it's not even about turning back. It's not about your behavior. It's not about your willpower. It's not about any. It's that the fact that you're completely deluded. You've given the world a pass, and your love of the world is hatred. Just like your love of God is hatred toward God. Because it's not based on God. It's based on what you want. Where you want to go. What you want to do. The greatest thing, you know, probably the greatest learning example, you know, I mean, it has to get to a point where everyone agrees we need to annihilate this entire world. You know, and let me explain why. It's not just like annihilate the world, I'm being a child. That's not it. I'm not being a child at all. I'm looking at the facts. And the system, okay, if you like, annihilate the system. That would be fine. Make you feel better? Good. Anyway, if you were in my head right now, you'd be like, man, things wouldn't be the same. You'd be making some decisions. You'd be reassessing your friends list. Do you really want to play footsie with people that are like, being controlled by demons? I.e. be on any social network platform. You really want to keep playing that game? There is no justification. See, the depravity and the outright evil went beyond the demons and beyond Satan. Man took it to an all new level, not being, grabbed by the hair and dragged across the evil line by Satan, all on his own. He said, let me take it much further than that. I'll blackmail you and then I'll machine gun you. It didn't have to be that bad. It could have been wheat and tares instead of all tares. When it gets to be all tares, God usually just annihilates it. Yeah. Sooner or later, he's, you know, just like the lyrics, sooner or later, he's going to cut you down, man. He's going to cut you down. You could be someone like Larry Fink, think you're above it all, be on a big ego trip, like you're going to change, you're going to force everyone to be your slave. He's going to cut you the fuck down, man. He's going to cut you and everything you love. You're going to beg for death. You're going to beg for the end. You're going to beg for it all to go away. And that's where we're headed. We're not headed toward. I mean, 2024 will probably be, you know, a head fake. Look like, hey, things are finally getting on track. Until about the election time, and then I think there will be some contention. They're already calling for riots nationwide. They're already calling for civil war. We are in the midst of a civil war right now. The shooting, you know, has not begun yet. But when there is civil war, there will be a breaking of the military into different factions, depending on people's beliefs. The movie Civil War coming out is extremely timely. I don't know what it's about. I don't know what, you know, what they've done with it. I just know some of the images in the trailer are very, you know, are very thought-provoking and just show, you know, American against American, brother against brother. Here we go again. Based on political ideology. In other words, you all kill each other because of George Soros. You all kill each other because of Bill Gates. They sit back laughing while they cash you in and you act like a dumb shit. I'm going to go get me some, yeah. I'm going to get me some payback. Well, unless you can shoot the big guys, which you can't, then you're just wasting bullets. You're just shooting people that are stupid or deluded or somehow psychologically maimed, which is more, really, I consider the population of America now not deluded anymore. I consider we have progressed to a point of psychological damage, permanent damage. And when things get damaged permanently and when the DNA looks like it's all going to go, God steps in. He always has. And I think in prayer life, it should really be, how can we comfort one another? How can we minister to one another? How can we be more loving? How can we be more Christ-like in the midst of this crisis? Jesus warned more than I am. He painted a very dark picture more than I did. One of the problems is I have tried to, you know, just have some peace and not really deal with the situation. But now I'm calling it. It's the worst in human history. One time I had said I had received some word. It could have been a demon. It could have been fake. It could have been, I could have been mistaken. I, you know, make mistakes. But it was like December 6th will be the worst day in human history. You know, it may happen. That would be the date, I think, that you would kick off a civil war. You know, tanks, jets. And, Mr. President, why did you bomb your own people? I understand this movie kind of takes Texas and California and has them sort of secede against the United States. That's not how it'll be. It's going to be brutal fighting street to street. Everywhere. And if you're infirm or old or whatever, the only thing you do is stay home and just hope they don't burn you down. You know, better have some rice. Better have some water. Better have some first aid. And I mean, I don't feel sorry for people. Because the people brought this about themselves. They were warned, folks. That it's not my fault here. I'm just a messenger. And I'm on the right. This is the right message. I'm sorry. It's not what you want to hear. But the people have been warned. And they won't relent. What do you do with people if they're warned and not? You know, the eclipse is coming up on April 8th. And it's going over several towns named Nineveh. The eclipse of the sun. Be the biggest eclipse in 100 years or whatever it is. Can you believe that? It's going to go over Nineveh and everyone is so dumbed down. They don't know what that means. They don't see any prophetic, just like the movie coming out has a prophetic significance. Civil War, right when we're in a civil war. Somebody commissioned Alex Garland, the director, to make that film. He was the one that made Ex Machina and, interesting filmmaker, thought-provoking. And kind of, I don't know, he's in the system, though. So the Chinese are going to tell him what to do. You know what I mean? No, there's no way he had his own hand in this. Alex, but if you want to make your own film, you're going to have to break free and find money out there and friends and ways to do it that's independent so you can say what you have to say. And don't expect people to like it because they'll send all the hounds after you telling you you can make an A-list, an A picture and they'll tell you it's shit. No, you're much better off getting coddled by the New World Order, getting promoted by the New World Order, having them put out the ads. I understand that your film's going to be on IMAX. Congratulations. You can't get on IMAX unless you've got the Larry Finks of the world behind you. You know that. So you must feel weird. Don't you? Any of you in Hollywood, are you still doing this? What, for money? Is it for money, Alex? Mr. Garland, calling Mr. Garland, was it money? You want to be famous? They screened it at SXSW, South by Southwest in Austin, the festival, which we happily boycott every year. And there's nothing going on there. It's just the money guys promoting their next piece of shit. But anyway, they were mixed reviews on this thing. So there's some integrity in the film. I'm going to see it right away. I have to see it. Films have a prophetic tie-in. And I think that's why God put me in Hollywood when I grew up, because it was, in that arena, in that area, because there's something about film. It's such a big thing, There's a prophetic marker on film. There's a prophetic significance, even to just titles that come up. So I think there really is one with this. I'm not sure until I see it. I'm sure the film will be somewhat of a disappointment if I have expectations. I think the film would probably do better if there were no civil war going on right now. But Alex, Mr. Director, we're in the middle of a civil war. Whether you like it or not. Whether you want to shape it or not, whether you want to analyze it or not, you're not going to be, when the shooting starts, there's going to be no reasoning about it. It's just brutal, blunt force death. Got me? Did you aid and abet it? I don't. You're going to have to live with your own conscience, man. But instead of working independently, you worked in the system once more. You insist that nobody told you what to write. No one told you what to do. You're a production company. said, saw your script and said they would do it. We're ready to go. Uh-huh. Yeah, they make it seem like that, don't they? Like it was your idea in the first place. Well, there you go. Oh, I don't expect you to question yourself, no. Nobody does. We all look at our TV screens. We all look at our phone screens. We all look at the, we all look outside for some kind of answer as to the very problem that, that can only be resolved within. Understand? No. What's within? What is it like when you stand at the ocean and you have this beautiful ocean and beautiful like slight offshore breeze blowing the tops of the waves back and a spray back over the water and like white caps out there and plants all happy and the seagulls flying around and, you know, people sparse, just a few people on the beach here and there, a few on the pier fishing. What's that like? What is that? You see, to me, that represents abundance. That represents goodness. That represents creation. No, and I go back to when I was in La Jolla, standing on my, at that time, my mother's balcony or whatever it was. They weren't there. It was like we had a house that was like partially mine and partially theirs that was handed down from our grandparents. But anyway, it was up for sale. It's long gone. Most of it to the IRS. Oh, yeah. But while that was around, that house on the beach, that was some good times I had. That was a little respite, being at the ocean. But what was it about the ocean that gave me therapy? What was it that soothed my mind? It was the limitlessness of it. You know? And this gal, a friend of Trish's, was, I don't know if she was dating this priest or whatever, or they were friends, but she brought him down. And the first thing he did is stuck his head into the, there's a little wet bar there, and he just like started draining the gin. There's, the only thing there left was gin. At that time, I think I drank, you know, wine. So he's slogging down the gin. And I'm, and we're standing out on the little porch overlooking the ocean, and I go, hey, look, there's enough for everyone. And he got so mad, I thought he was going to try to kill me. He was just really just totally bent out of shape. He goes, oh, come on now, man has to make a living. You can't, in other words, you can't just go out there and fish. You can't just go out and share the resources. You got to ask permission for that. You got to put out for that. You got to become a member. Anyone that doesn't should be killed. Okay, but this membership has brought us, along with the middle way, the middle way is just simply covering up your sins. Putting on the surface of a nice country club with nice golf clubs, nice golf course, people saying yes, sir, no, sir, and, you know, kissing your toes and, you know, making sure that your golf cart has plenty of power and that you stay filled with whiskey and really just kissing your fucking ass. And that's the privilege that you get, which then goes to the challenge of more corruption is good. Are you in or out? Well, of course you're in for the next round. Because if you're out, you're going to be all alone out there. You might even get indicted. Oh. You either in all the way or you're just a scumbag. You're just a piece of shit. I don't want people who aren't loyal. You should know that. You're either in or out. Yeah, but now it's not just ripping off little old ladies, you know, bags in Beverly Hills. Now we're into a, you know, a whole new scam of building huge developments of housing for people that will never be able to afford to be there, then foreclosing the whole thing, then wrapping it up in a derivative schedule of making a bond out of it and selling it, the junk, on the open market and taking down the entire financial system. That's a little different than just ripping off people at the Hollywood Park or Santa Anita. Wouldn't you say? It's no, not just that. There's people that need to be killed. You with us or not? And how many children went down in that plane crash? Well, the whole family went down, including the maid and the poodle. Huh? So what? You know, society remains. And those who have any kind of contention are fools. I can't stand them. And when, especially when they suddenly find their integrity. They suddenly, you know, I'd like to find all whistleblowers worldwide in any industry and kill them all. Because that's the sin of the highest magnitude. That's being a traitor. You feel me? Oh, this is a good one here. We should just cut it off right here, right, Pia? We got Pia helping me with the... we're looking at... Well, Rumble is, you know, she's posting stuff that we have to... I got to have a meeting with her and start getting that organized. Rumble looks like going to be the next destination. And, but anyway, so the corruption ran deeper than I would allow myself to acknowledge, is universal between the Catholic priests, the Pope, the President, the Prime Ministers, the Kings, the Queens, everybody. Everybody did it. Now, let's open up a chapter on Donald J. Trump. All right. Newt Gingrich said about Trump, he didn't go to their initiations. He wasn't initiated. He wasn't there at their ceremonies. He wasn't there. He never got his rite of passage. So they hate him. They can't have him there. What do you suppose he meant by that? What he meant was not what you think. What he meant was he was from working class, Queens, right? Or Bronx, one of the Queens. And they weren't going to let him in. So you know how he is. He just forced his way in. He's just a force of nature. And they just couldn't stand that he could make things happen on his own and prefer to do it that way. I'm not saying he isn't corrupt with Big Pharma. That warp speed was totally fucked up, man. That was completely, completely evil. Totally, and he needs to repent for that because I don't think I'm going to even vote in this upcoming joke of an election. But for those of you who think that by getting Trump in the office, you're going to save America, I think you've got another thing coming. Yeah, I'm not sure that your theory is going to work, but then again, I'm just one guy. And when it gets too far, then you have the advent of witchcraft takes over all the religions, Poverty is enforced. The dollar is destroyed. The middle class is destroyed, as Biden's done beautifully. You know, it's funny. I just wonder. Yeah, he's got to be the most brilliant politician of all, and Jill and all the people around him, because he's destroyed the middle class while they applaud him. I've never seen. I used to call these people dumb shits and all that, but now I can't do that anymore. It's something beyond dumb. It's not your conscience is seared either. That's what the Bible says. When you don't know the difference between right and wrong, that means your conscience is seared. That's not it with them. The idea that they would die on cue, the idea that they would give up their middle classhood, the idea that they would let their homes go into foreclosure, the idea that they would destroy their cities, their blue cities, with lawlessness, and still vote for Biden. This is part of God's judgment, you see. He's made them so deluded. When they vote for Biden, they think they're going to have more of the same, which has been beautiful. And it might be because they get to exercise their dicks more. I don't know. They're encouraged to fornicate. And they like that. They're given drugs, and they like that. I'm speculating. I may be completely wrong on that. I mean, it massages it, though, right? It helps them to make their decision. You don't want Trump. He's going to come up and down the street, and, you know, if you're having sex with the wrong thing, well, they're trying to push the pedophilia through, and they're trying to push the kiddie porn through, and, you know, the trafficking. They look the other way. And you wonder, what kind of people are you? What kind of American are you? Did you know that West Point, this is how far gone we are. West Point just removed the motto, duty, honor, country. Wasn't that MacArthur who said that? You know, the guy that won World War II, I mean, no big deal. You know, seriously, you're going to take West Point and get rid of those words that guide so many young men? Are you going to, and women too, Zev? Oh, yes, we need women in combat. Oh, God, yes. I can't wait to see them blown to smithereens, especially their wombs, so they can't bear any children. Because I'm a leftist. That's what I want. I can have a womb too. I don't need some woman. I can have my gay lover and a womb and have kids. I don't need women. I hate women. I hate women because, you know, daddy fucked me in the ass too much. You know, we can go further with this. We can just make it into a Bosch painting. Would you like that? Everybody, because cannibalism is now returning to the world. And I predicted cannibalism. I get, ping, for Zeph. Yeah. I should be on the psychic phone network. Well, cannibalism is alive and well, and it's just about to cross the pond from the Caribbean into poor areas of the United States. You happy? Now, I don't want to put a damper on Alex Jones or Elon Musk or Joe Rogan or any of these guys that they want to save their... Joe Rogan's a billionaire. Of course he wants to preserve the system. But he's also part of the problem. Can't you see that? Yeah, but I've been praying for Joe. Yeah. Yeah. Ah, God bless you. The Christians are the most deluded of all. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe you can't handle the truth. A Few Good Men, which, by the way, was directed by Rob Reiner, which, man, that's a brilliant movie. Rob Reiner is a brilliant director. Acorn doesn't fall far from the tree, except he's only bad at one thing, politics. So that's what he insists on doing the rest of his life, where he should be directing.
He certainly has the...
He's great. He has a great talent, but people don't, you know, he's meathead. They just seem as a, it's sad. It's sad. He's, doesn't matter anymore. Nobody's great anymore. I mean, do you love your icons anymore? You love your Taylor Swift? You love your Lady Gagas? You love your, you know, you love your Letitia Jameses? You love your George Soros? Hey, you love your John McCain? You love your, oh, the classic of all, the most mentally ill of everyone, is Mitt Romney. And guess where he lives? Guess where he's going to retire? La Jolla. What is it about La Jolla? It was also mentioned in the movie Marlowe last night, La Jolla. Mm-hmm. It's a hideaway for celebtards. Anyway, I was allowed to see a whole new level of corruption. And I can now see why there are no survivors. Oh, shit. Well, burn that into your head. There are no survivors. One here, one there doesn't count. There are no survivors out on Catalina Island forming a brilliant fight back against the system. There are no survivors out on a boat drifting at sea. There are no survivors on a plot of land in Uruguay, you know, hoping that they're not discovered down there by blue state politicians. There are no survivors. The reason I say blue state and red state is because the blue states, the politicians go after the red states. So if there's somebody having fun or doing something or having a party or having free market capitalism or doing any of that or prospering, they want to make sure they infiltrate and corrupt it. A good example is Tyson Foods. You hear about Tyson Foods? No, it's okay if you leave. It's not going to hurt my feelings. I don't have a good bedside manner. I don't promote. I had to lay it on the line today. I mean, God put it on my heart. I want to stay in favor with God. I want to stay in sync. You know what I mean? And there's, you know, when I look at my time in the hospital, I mean, I felt so, you know, so alone. It was so terrible. And everyone around me was an enemy. They were all in the system, and they were all mind-controlled, and they were all, you know, trying to hurt me, and not overtly, but you know what I mean. Just like, you know, the devil messes with the idle hands of the devil's playground, you know. All I can tell you is that God is good. Because look, here's the thing. In 2003, and it might have been 2002, I had a nuclear war vision that there was a nuke obviously dropped around Santa Fe. Maybe it was Sandia, maybe it was Los Alamos, whatever, but it was big enough so that it got us all. And I saw a big flash of light. And I knew it was a nuclear bomb going off. I knew we were attacked. And even back then, it was very unlikely something like that would happen. And I stepped into the light. And I was immediately with the Lord. And it was the most joyous day of my life. So I called it the nuclear rapture. The nuclear rapture. Can you imagine? The nuclear. Embrace it. Run toward it. Praise God in your annihilation, because that was the most beautiful day of my life, being nuked. finally, I had closure. I was with Daddy. I was with the Lord. I was created. I did what I was created to do, and I went home. I came here. I saw. I did what God wanted me to do, including, you know, making our films out amongst them. Not sequestered like Angel Studios or TBN or one of these other things. Listener supported, you know, send in your donation, send your love give. You got a love give? Send me that love give. I need that. So, we're talking about setting up prayer 20 on 20 again. Talk to Govinda. I've got to organize that. It'll be the same format. You can weigh in on the Zeph report. I'm having some Rise tea. It's mushroom based, and it's supposedly
mushroom coffee.
It's mushroom coffee. It's delicious. It's a real treat, and it makes yours truly much sharper. Do you need me to be sharper? No. You need me to be more, more brain cells than I have? No, I don't think so. I need to even the playing field. I mean, not being prescient or, you know, hearing things or seeing things in the future, or having visions, not having so active a mind can give you great comfort. Mind just won't stop. So, you know, we've got, unfortunately, things seem about ready to, and this is just the surface, things seem about ready to go to, we're at DEFCON 3 now. That's very dangerous. We haven't been at DEFCON 3 since 1962, Cuban Missile Crisis, do you recall? Go watch Dr. Strangelove. Give yourself a little boost. Never heard of it? Well, I can't help you then. Yeah. It is, if it's not brutal enough already on the subways and some of these, I guess towns that used to be Democrat towns, right? New York, New York City, Philadelphia, a lot of these East Coast cities that were highly union-based, they were very, very much Biden, you know, places that were Biden territory are all bought and paid for by Soros. So you have lawlessness that's crept in. And I'm sure the working stiffs, you know, the union workers in these places, you know, Albany, you know, and places like, up in the Northeast and the Northern Midwest, Detroit, and so forth. I think most people that have been following the Democrats that were union and were labor and were, you know, everything's changed. The Democrats are now the party of the elite. They're the party of the New World Order. They're the party of anti-labor. And so now, but a lot of these habits die hard. So a lot of these people that supported labor and all that, you know, laborers, are going broke now. Because they have to downsize. For example, with the batteries, battery-operated cars require a hell of a lot less workers. And a lot of that's being automated anyway. And a lot of it's not going to be necessary because there's not going to be people to drive cars. So you see they're becoming ephemeral to the system. And now the politicians like Biden and company, I've always been working class. Uh-huh. They're forgetting about you, aren't they? And now many are crossing that horrible line and voting for Trump as if that might fix it. Look, don't get me wrong. I want someone in there that's a praying person, that reveres God, that fears God. He can make mistakes. But when you make a mistake like warp speed, you've got to apologize. You just have to repent or I can't go there. I can't, you know what I mean? I mean, all these other talk show hosts, and they're all trying to preserve what they've got. And I'm kind of like, where I'm at right now, it's just like, just take the planet and take it out. You know, yes, I know how much pain it is. Been there. It's okay. Who was it, Ram Dass, that said something about dying? Dying is easy. Just like taking off an old coat or something. I forget what he said. Not that, no, I mean, I'm not taking his word over the Bible or something. I'm just saying it's in every tradition, people have different thoughts on death of how horrible it is. And isn't it Paul in the Bible that says, "Oh, death, where is thy sting? To die is, to live is Christ, to die is gain." And when I say that, you say, well, persecution. Yeah, well, don't think I've, enjoyed being, you know, trying to my best to have some kind of a life, and then realizing that Los Angeles in total was against said life, against such things ever happening for anyone. I had no idea. I had no clue. And then the church said the same thing. You conform to Satan or you're not going to be a church member. And the word conform means Satan. So, I mean, you know, they're synonymous. That's what it is. You make a deal with the devil, but then you've got your Jesus. You make a deal with the devil. In other words, the world will leave you alone. So you can make your deal with, you can be a laborer at Northrop and make nuclear weapons. And, but you've got Jesus. You can go to the Rocky Peak Church up there in Chatsworth. Have a gay old time. Lots of kids there to choose from, too. It's gone too far, folks. That's what I'm telling you. It was either tell you the truth or shut up forever. I can't just go halfway. There's nothing wrong with being a person that contributes to the world, not through corruption, that gives love freely, that receives love, that honors house and hearth, that is just trying to be a good person out there, not selling out to any particular special interest, trying to keep their integrity, even though they may not. Who repents often if they get absconded with, if they make a mistake, if they get taken over by this one or that one, or a political party, or a controller down at the factory, or whatever, or at Apple, or in Hollywood. Well, Hollywood is so funny, it's still the same place. You know, if you want more roles, sleep with more producers. That's the answer that was provided on the show last night, Marlo, with Liam Neeson. Yeah, my so-and-so told me to, sleep with more producers, I'll get better roles. And I mean, you know, and just very, very matter of fact, and everyone's on the make, on the take, everyone's blackmailed. There is no way for it to proceed. When I wrote the book Lamb, it was the L.A. Basin that got flooded. But the small party of lambs were let out into the mountains and beyond to the desert and survived. And I think, well, if you had to say in America what choice is made, the choice is made for the corruption of the world. That's the majority of people here. Smaller percentage, you know, the church is mainly, you know, go with the world system, follow the rules, conform. But then you got Jesus as your little get out of jail free card, right? And then a small percentage of those are actually true blue, but they're not respected and they're not listened to. And that's what you've got. But then again, that's what you had back in 1945. That's what you had in 1830. That's what you had back in the days of Jesus. That's what you had the time of Caesar. The same thing. Don't be a fool. Get off that cross. We had Jesus for that. Now go live your life. Go live your life. Look, Jesus is a real killer. He's made people afraid. You know. He made you afraid to let your hair down. So you do it in secret now. That's even worse. And if you don't do it, you say you're going to explode. You can't control yourself. Other people have a vested interest. You are a commodity. You may not even realize it, but people are watching you because you serve the community and you may not even realize how. But if you were to change and find some missing integrity or principles, all right, now the war is on. They're going to beat your head down. You should have seen this guy last night, played by the club owner or the club manager, whatever he was. Played by Tony Houston. What's his name? He's John Houston's son. Angelica Houston's brother. Oh, God, he was perfect. He triggered me a million ways. I'm in a lot of pain because of him. It was just like I was transported back to when I was 5. It was just unbelievable. It was just unbelievable. I mean, memories of the leather chairs at the Bohemian Club and the L.A. Country Club and the, you know, this club and that club and the golf club and the Boeing and Northrop and military industrial complex places and Disneyland and Hollywood. And it got so bad that I took Francesca to Disneyland and Trish and Disney World. We stayed in our camper and our RV. And both Francesca and I, we had to run out of there. We actually ran to get on the boat. We had to take a boat back to wherever we were parked, to the campsite. So we had to run to get on that boat and get out. Something was chasing us. We drove down the wrong path to get in there, and it was for the staff, for the workers there. And it said, remember to always stay in character.
Yeah.
Disney turned out to be the most evil place on earth. But there are people who say they're lovely Christian, who have pictures all over the internet of taking their kids to Disney World. The two are not compatible, folks. The two are anathemas. The two are opposites. How can you take your kids to Disneyland? How? It's not possible. It's a short circuit waiting to happen. I'm going to answer the question. You took them there because of the middle way, i.e. they hide all their stuff so you feel comfortable and the kids have a good time, and you don't want them to be like looked at as oddballs at school, do you? An hour and 15 minutes of, you know, this is, I'm going to have to cut it right here because this is, you know, this is a lot of condensed truth in a short period of time. And what I mean to say, folks, is this. There is no wiggle room. You should know better. I should know better, and I've drifted too. You know what happens when I drift? I don't hear from God anymore. I don't have the comforter. I don't have that the need in the middle of the night. You're there, Lord. Help me, Lord. I feel so bad. Please help me, Lord. Please. I don't even know what's wrong. I need your comfort, Lord, please. It's so bad I can't handle it anymore, but I can't, I don't know what it is. Please help me. And the Lord's always helping, even if you don't know it. When you feel disconnected, Lord's working in the background on all the other things, people, interactions, things to help you survive. Think of the people on solitary confinement right now for January 6th. They need the Lord. They need to know that they're not going to be abandoned by people that won't stand with them, because they're afraid of the Justice Department seeing them and throwing them in prison. When did it get like this? It's because, I'm sorry, America made it that way. Not the politicians, but the people didn't, they just sat there doing nothing. While their kids were taken, their wives were taken, their husbands were taken, they were all taken. They were all conquered. So now this is what we have. Conquering has happened. The Civil War is on. The result is final. If it were a ship, it's a ship that's been condemned to sink. And right now we're offloading, you know, the survivors onto lifeboats, but the rest are going to die. It's just the way it is. But please don't lament. They were warned. They were told, if you do this, this will happen. I can tell you just from the universal law in every country, everywhere. God is not mocked. You are mocked. You who thought you'd get away with it are mocked. God is not mocked. What we sow, so shall we reap. We reap what we sow. And we're reaping what we've sown. If you don't like it, sow something else. Don't sit there and tell me not, you know, if we could just blot the truth out, we could all get along. Wrong. Blotting the truth out's been true for the last 100 years here in America. And where has it led? Say, since the Industrial Revolution, where has it led? The middle way has brought us right here. Education's brought us right here. Wars have brought us right here. The fact that they used tax money to steal from us so that nobody has anything is all by design. But the people, they sit there and actually, they write the checks to the IRS. They volunteer to be killed. If money is a lifeblood and helps people survive, they want to make sure they can't do that, so they give the money to the government. The government gives it out to, corrupt leaders and drugs and trafficking and whatever else, money laundering, and the people be damned. Why do they do that? Because nobody holds them accountable. And now it's too late. You look at them, look at guys like Jim Jordan and other people trying to hold them accountable. They're laughed at. They're literally laughed out of the chamber. Oh well. What can we do? Okay, I'm going to cut it right there. I think that's a. Well, you might not like it. I mean, have I told you to do anything? Did I tell you to take your dick out of the wall socket? No. I didn't. So lay off me. I didn't do it. I'm just the guy in the desert screaming today. And thank God I am. I found my lost testicles. They're not lost, but I was drifting for a while. But not today. I'll see you. Yeah, this is exciting. Let's get with the program. God's going to finally move. Here's my ode to an old girlfriend who worked with my mother to throw me in the loony bin.
Why do they make it so difficult?
Can you not see?
Well, that's better now.
There must be some way out of this.
It's better now.
It's much better now.
It's better now.
It's much better now.
Yeah.
I don't know why you thought you would keep on. Now that everybody knows, from your head down to your toes, you really did wrong to lock me up in the asylum. You knew I'd get out one day. I knew I was coming after you. Any one day I'd settle the score. I don't know why it's so quiet here, but yeah, you done me solitary. Confinement is not meant for me. The Thorazine and all the medication made me into a zombie. I don't know if I'll ever get over it. I use my psychic power to track you down. I tracked you down. I tracked you down. You seem to think and I won't ever come back. But now I'm. That was me you waved to on Sunset. I saw you there. Some old BMW. And Lyda Whittier going to check on your mom's house. Don't think that I forgot for 1 minute how you delivered me up to Satan. And I did object because I'm not just like you. I have a point of view. You have no right over my soul. You have no right. I know you're mind controlled and your soul is gone. I know you're just a servant of darkness.
Settle the score.